So Mike and I have been watching a TV show lately that's been giving us laughter at the end of the day, and it's so good to laugh at the end of the day. It's a British show called Taskmaster. And it's on YouTube if you want to join in the fun. Free, you know, you got commercials. But the premise of the show is that it takes five comedians and invites them to do simple, sometimes slightly strange tasks. And the person who does the task the best, according to the host, the Taskmaster, gets 5 points. And at the end of the season, the person with the most points gets a trophy of the Taskmaster's head. It's super silly. Very, very silly. If you're a British Bake Off fan, some of the hosts, like Noel from British Bake Off, is on the show. So it's funny. It's great. But the other night we were watching, okay, it was episode 5, season 11. Yes, we've made it through 11 seasons. And this was the task. Cover your lower half in biodegradable cling film and duct tape, so that no part of your lower half isn't covered in biodegradable cling film and duct tape. As with every task, the contestants try to ask additional questions, and the host always responds, all the information is on the task. And so each of these contestants are filmed separately, and so they can't compare notes, and so this task begins. Three of them, Mike, Charlotte, and Sarah, start by wrapping the cling film around their waist and going down to their ankles, and they immediately start, like, tripping up. Let's see. If Lee started with the tape. Now, mind you, he's wearing shorts, and he's muttering the whole time on how ridiculous this is. He's making sure that there are no gaps, and he better get full points for this. Now, Mike had wrapped the... No, let's see. Okay, so that's all four of them. So they're working on it. Now, Mike has done with the cling film, and so now he starts wrapping the duct tape around, and so you can't even see the cling film. It's like he's got this black cocoon all the way down. Lee has the tape first, and so then he does this shimmery layer of cling film on top. And Charlotte and Sarah just do, like, candy cane stripes of tape around the cling film. All of them have done it differently. But the end result is none of them can walk. Now, there's a fifth person, because there's five contestants. Jamali reads the task, cover your lower half in biodegradable cling film and duct tape so that no part of your lower half isn't covered in biodegradable cling film and duct tape, and proceeds to start at his feet. And he wraps one leg, and then does the waist, and then wraps the other leg. So he can still walk, which is good, because then they're handed another task that says, go and grab the captain's hat and put it on your head. And the captain's hat is across the lawn. And so he just walks over and puts the hat on, and he's done. The rest of them slowly caterpillar, roll over, like, eventually get there, but it's hilarious. And so silly, right? But it's made me think about, like, these 1- and 2-sentence instructions. 5 different interpretations come from the same sentence. And it's goofy. And there's all this pressure to do it right so that you get the points. Because the taskmaster is kind of conniving and nitpicky. And so you want to do it right. I cannot help but think that this happens in real life, too, in particular with our own laws. I mean, most of you are lawyers in this room. You understand this? We have these laws to govern us, and yet it's up to individuals and judges and juries and lawyers how they're interpreted, right? What do these words actually mean? And how do we lean into them? What does it mean when we've crossed the line? What are the intentions behind the law? What starts as a simple sentence can have so many, 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 many interpretations. For today, we get to look at one specific law, Sabbath. It sounds straightforward, doesn't it? work 6 days, rest 7, and repeat. And yet, even this reading from Deuteronomy is Moses' interpretation of the original. The law first shows up in the Ten Commandments in the book of Exodus, which reads this way. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work. You, your son, your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien residents in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and an earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. In Moses' farewell speech in Deuteronomy, as the people stand on the precipice of the Promised Land after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, Moses adds this line, "Remember, you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." It makes me wonder why Moses would add this. And yet, perhaps after 40 years in the wilderness, maybe this is the most important thing to remember. Remember the context for all of these laws. Remember that God rescued you, freed you from Pharaoh's oppressive reign and so many laws, restrictive laws. And remember that that came with a price, plagues and pillar of fire and wilderness for a long time. This law, all the laws, are given to you, and they're about liberation. And it's not just for you, but it's the whole collective, it's the whole community. The gift of these Ten Commandments, the gift of Sabbath. Jesus takes this interpretation even further in our gospel story for today. First, he addresses hunger. He and the disciples are gleaning their way through a harvested field, and the food was there for the taking, intentionally left behind for the poor, the widows, and the hungry, thanks to another Hebrew law. And yet they're working, and that's not okay. And yet, while Jesus is talking with these religious leaders, he reminds them that this is not a new practice. Even King David ate the bread when he wasn't supposed to in a time of need. For if the law is for the sake of liberation, sometimes it means you can't play by all of the rules. Jesus gives another example right there in the synagogue. Seeing a man with a withered hand, he asks them, first, is it lawful to do this? Is it lawful to do good or harm on the Sabbath? And they don't respond. And he looks around them with anger, and he's grieved by the hardness of their hearts, which kind of reminds me of Pharaoh, right? There's another person in our scripture readings with a hard heart clutching to laws and the way that things have to be. Jesus says to this man, "Stretch out your hand," and heals him. I want to be really careful here because what Jesus is doing, he does here as a Jew protective of Jewish law. And this is a really normal thing for a rabbi to do with other rabbis in community. They take a law and they have a conversation about it. And so following suit as Christians, it is our job to be on the lookout for distortions of our practices, Christian laws, that point to things other than what God intends. Abundance and liberation and grace and love. For we know, dear one, that these laws, any laws, cannot be the ends themselves. We know that any of us cannot interpret the law or keep these things perfectly, and so God chooses to come to us. In the waters of baptism, God proclaims us good, not by what we do or how many laws we follow, but because of whose we are. We are freed from this point system of trying to check boxes and cross our T's, trying to earn favor from a heavenly taskmaster, for we cannot earn our way on our own merits. We will fail every time. And yet the promise of the gospel is we are loved beyond measure, and so we are invited to keep failing. Embrace these laws not as death-dealing things, but as invitations to look through them with a lens of freedom. For as we do, liberation will ripple outward as gifts to all it encounters. Yes, Sabbath matters. Yet if there's an opportunity to feed someone, take it. If there's a chance to offer healing, the answer every time is yes. Because isn't this what real Sabbath actually looks like? Where the table is full and we are freed from our pain and anxiety and stress and violence. And all of us can just settle into God's loving grace and rest. These readings make me wonder. Are there any aspects of your life where you see the law budding up with love and grace? Perhaps it's here at church. Maybe it is in your workplace or within your family. What laws need to take a lesser place so that God's liberation can shine through? Or how can we interpret our laws, spoken and unspoken, written down and invisible, in such a way that the love of God becomes more visible in people's lives? This past week, I was at an Arlington Interfaith Network meeting where local colleagues are also shared that they're doing this work too. A local Jewish synagogue is really wrestling with how their faith lines up with Israel or not. The Methodist Church as a denomination has recently discerned to be more open and affirming to LGBTQIA folks, even perhaps at the expense of their relationship with the global church. Memorial Baptist up on Glebe is embarking in a partnership with Greenbrier Baptist, and they're looking at turning that site into a social service site where they will offer job training and food and ESL classes. Each faith community is asking, what is good? What is righteous? What is true? And dear ones, as Lutherans, we are in good company with these folks because our whole faith tradition is based on this, right? As Martin looked at Scripture and saw what the Catholic Church is doing and is like, I don't know, could we talk about this, guys? And accidentally kind of started this revolution, right? But what is good? What is true? What is loving and righteous? This is actually the work we did at Senate Assembly yesterday. And on paper, it doesn't look like much. It's constitutional amendments, and it's changing language and tweaking things. But this is revolutionary. Institutions, you know. But it is. It's revolutionary as we discern and think about these things. This is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's actually essential. For the sake of God's love and liberation, we are called to explore and wonder and poke at things and be curious. Dear ones, we remember today that we do not follow a taskmaster who is complicated and impossible to please. We may get that one line instruction, but we have a lifetime of exploration and stories and relationships to figure these things out. So I invite you to take a breath and hear Jesus' proclamation of freedom and liberation and love for you. For Jesus proclaims, I have come to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim not just a day of Sabbath, but a whole year of liberation. Amen. Thanks be to God.